Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Bill Kingria. How are you doing today, Bill?
Well, it's been a busy day, but I'm doing pretty good, I think, for my age.
Are you telling your age these days?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm pretty proud of 88.
You should be.
Yeah.
I would say you're doing pretty good for your age.
Yeah.
And that's what everything we're going to talk today is about today is coming out of an active lifestyle, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. And so we have a local food bank and clothes closet called Hope Distributed. Bill, the Lord put it on your heart to do a hike to support Hope Distributed. So, if, Bill, if you'd like to share how that came about, how God's using, he's given you good health. And like Pastor Margaret said, you live an active lifestyle and for the glory of God.
Well, I guess to be to set a little stage for this, I have to go back several years. I've been pretty active all my life, and on my 80th birthday, I did a hot air balloon ride, and that wasn't exciting enough. On my 87th birthday, I went ziplining, and all my friends are saying, "Well, what you going to do next?" And so, I guess one of the inspirations I got from this was, I read the story about the guy that was 83 years old that walked the entire Appalachian Trail in one season. Wow. And that's something over 2,300 miles from Georgia to Maine. And I said, well, I ought to be able to do something like that at my age. So I decided, I looked at the Shenandoah National Park, and it's the trail covers 100 miles in the Shenandoah National Park, and I thought, I think I can do that. So I talked to Jeff, the head of the food bank, and I said, you know, I think I could do this and raise some funds for the food bank. And he thought it was a great idea. And I didn't really set a goal, but I said, you know, it'd be nice to raise $3,000. And so we planned it, and then my wife got sick and put it on hold. And so my daughter in Texas decided I ought to do it. So she comes up and stays with my wife while I start my walk. And I had planned to do it. I started it in September, and I had planned to get done by my birthday in October. But due to unforeseen circumstances, here came the death of my wife and hurricane relief in North Carolina. This is December the 12th, and I have now 3 miles to go, which I can do in one day. And so I'm planning that for next week.
Wow.
That's just amazing that, you know, you're a perseverant man. And I love that the fact that your family got involved and that Debbie came and sat with Cleo so you could go and put some of those miles in.
Well, my daughters were my cheerleaders. They thought I ought to do it. My wife wasn't too keen on it at first. She thought that's kind of dumb for a guy my age acting like he's 30. But
for a good cause.
She came around, and I know one day while she was sick, I had a girl coming in 3 days a week to watch her, and I would walk those 3 days. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were my days to walk. And so one Wednesday when she was sick, she said, "Wanda's here. How come you're not walking?"
So she got on board with it.
She got on board.
Oh, I'm so glad you have that to remember her wanting you to take the walk. That's amazing.
Yeah. And sometimes, giving you something to do during a difficult time kind of keeps your mind off of the hard things. That obviously you had to take a pause to spend time with your wife, but I think probably looking back, you'll remember the time where you did this hike during this tough season of loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and after her funeral, I really needed the time to unwind. And the fellows that were walking with me that day, it was the day after our funeral, really, the fellows that were walking with me understood where I was coming from. So they kind of left me alone, let me do my thing.
Yeah. Well, you were in creation with the Creator.
Yeah, right. And talk about creation. When you're on a mountain, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I've not walked a lot of the trail, but I have been on that. Yeah. And I'm hoping to help you finish out your walk. Yeah.
And at the time of this recording, Lord willing, you'll have completed that because this will be playing the first of the year, the beginning in January. So it'll be behind you, yeah. Lord willing.
Well, yeah, I plan to finish a good day in December. It's going to be nearly 60, so I'm going to finish it up that day.
Thanks for picking a warmer day.
cold weather, that's not really conducive to outside hiking.
Well, I've hiked when it was in the 30s, only a couple of days of that, but I try to keep it above 40. Of course, it's 10 degrees colder when you get up on the mountain.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, it's for a good cause.
Right.
I know that Jeff is grateful for your support of Hope Distributed, and this is going above and beyond to support the ministry of Hope Distributed.
And I haven't talked to Jeff. Of course, I've been in and out of town and doing other things in the last 3 weeks. Haven't talked to Jeff, but I don't know how many people on a trail said, "Oh, you know," I hand him a little brochure with Hike for Hope on it and tell them to follow me on Facebook. And they said, "We're going to donate when we get home." So I'm anxious to find out how many people donated,
right.
After they got off the trail.
Right.
And fortunately, I was able to collect almost $400 on the trail.
Wow.
From people I just tell my story to. I tell them, "Hey, I got a story you can tell your grandkids about a senile old man that wanted to do something different." And I had a couple of guys give me $100 on a trail.
Wow.
Spontaneous. Cool.
And if I had to guess, one of your involvement and passion for Hope Distributed is one of your daughters, Vicki Waldrop, was the former executive of Hope Distributed before she retired, and Jeff Wilhelm took over as the executive director.
Right. Yeah, and I've had I've been involved in it since its inception, so in different other roles. I've never really volunteered in the food bank itself, but I helped build and help repair and do some of the things that they had to do setting it up when they built the trailers and when they built the two warehouses. Right. So it's been a labor of love.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, any gift is important. It doesn't have to be on the front lines, so to speak. It can be behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for accolades.
Yeah, no. Our reward in heaven will be the accolade enough, right?
That's true. That's very true.
So do you have a story you can share with us just about a connection you made that was meaningful on the trail?
Well, yeah, I have one that really stands out. I'm walking with a couple guys from church, and so here's a guy sitting over on a trail on an overlook, and I'm pretty bashful, you know.
Yeah, we can tell.
Never met a stranger.
And I walk over just to say hello to him, and he said, I took a minute off the trail to meditate and pray. I said, "You're my kind of guy." And so I was telling him my story, and he got all excited. And he said, "Oh, you must be a real role model, and what an inspiration you are." And he went on and on and on about this. And he said, "When I get back to Fredericksburg, I'm going to send you a donation."
Wow.
And one of the guys from church that was walking with me mentioned the fact that I had lost my wife in the meantime. And he got excited over that and said, "I got to give you a hug." And he came over and hugged me, and he said, "I'm going to give you a donation right now." So he hands me a $100 bill.
Wow.
And he invites me to Fredericksburg for dinner sometime. Wow. as soon as Christmas is over and I get settled down a little bit, I'm going to Fredericksburg for lunch.
Good for you.
Wow.
But that's probably one of the most outstanding. I met several other people on the trail that were believers and interested in what I was doing. And gave me a donation. In fact, just yesterday, a guy just stops and told him my story, and he gave me $20. Wow. So it's been interesting to know that other people are interested in what you're doing, and especially if they're believers, they're free with God's money.
Right, yeah, and it's for a good cause. You're helping those that are in need of food and clothing, and even now Baby Hope is part of it for single parents that need, you know, diapers and formula and that kind of stuff. So it's going to a great cause.
Well, the brochure that I give them, you know, has Hike for Hope on it in my name, and of course I encourage them to read the brochure, and I'm not necessarily looking for an offering, but I'm always happy when they right. do realize that it's an important thing in their life too,
right.
to give to something that's this important.
Right. Yeah.
So, have you hiked a lot over the years? Has that been something that you've done?
No, I'm active, but I've hiked a few of the trails when I first moved up here. I thought I'd probably do more hiking than I did, but I've gone to some of the waterfalls and some of the trails, but I haven't hiked as much as I would have liked to have, but I may be back into something new.
Who knows?
One of the guys that's walking with me is a member of a trail club, and he said, "Oh, you'll like one of my groups." He said, "Everybody's over 70, and they hike several times a month." So I'll probably get back into it. Yeah. Some.
Found a new hobby or re-found an old hobby, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably more like it, yeah.
So we mentioned it about having to put it on pause to be with your wife in her final days. So anything you'd like to share about that? And then you also mentioned another interruption. I say interruption. It's not really an interruption because you were doing God's work. But Pastor Margaret was part of this team. Also, you all went down to North Carolina after the hurricane to help do some disaster relief through Virginia Nazarene Disaster Relief.
Well, when the hurricane came, a lot of the AT was closed because of the damage that was mm-hmm. done. And at that time, I was walking down near Waynesboro, and there was more damage in that part of the trail than anywhere else that I'd been. But there was quite a bit of damage, trees down over the trail, trees down in the road. So we had to quit hiking probably, I missed 3 or 4 days with the weather and lack of activities on the trail. Mm-hmm. And after the hurricane was over, I guess, what was it, 3 weeks maybe or four after the hurricane that we went to Carolina? Uh-huh. I have been on several mission trips, and it just seemed like a good thing to do. And so I went down to offer support to that, and had an enjoyable week. Felt like I did some good.
Yeah, it was quite a week. We were above Asheville. We saw a lot of devastation. Got to meet some people.
Yeah, and a lot of nice people. Of course, you didn't get to go to Chimney Rock. I did.
I know. I was really bummed.
That was just unexplainable. What the devastation that was there, and what had been there that don't know what. How much of it was gone, or
it's hard to tell. It's all it's so different.
And of course, TV doesn't do it justice when you go see it and stand on a bank makes a big difference.
And when you engage the people that are there living in it, you don't get that on the news either.
Yeah.
What that's like.
Well, and I know the one day we went. The day it rained, we went around to about 5 or 6 different places and talked to people about what they were doing and trying to get some inspiration for what we were going to do next. And, of course, this was a little different from what y'all were doing with the rebuilding of the trailers and the house. But we were cutting a lot of trees and doing a lot of cleanup. And that was – you saw – something that you'll never see again, and how people were reacting to it. And many of these people were believers, and they weren't bitter with God or anything. It was just one of those things that that came their way, and it was a new trial of their life, and they were accepting it very, very honorable.
Yeah, we were able to engage a few people along the journey that week that had kind of given up on Jesus and decided to recommit their lives, and that was really exciting just to see that. Kind of wondering why we showed up. Like, why would you leave your home for a week to come and do this and then because of God used that. We didn't do it, but God used our time with some of the folks, kind of give them a different look at the world. One of the ladies I remember, she said, it's given me hope that there are still good people in the world. It was humbling just to see how some of the places, holy ground that we got to walk on with people.
Yeah,
and you never know. Heaven only will reveal the results.
The fruit.
And the fruit of this.
I have one of my favorite photos that I took that week. We were at the home of a couple. The gentleman had really bad arthritis. He was having hip surgery the next Monday. And there was 20-some oak trees that were down in his yard. It was a real mess. And we were there cutting up a lot of branches and limbs and burning them, trying to get the yard cleaned up. And there's a moment where you're engaged in a conversation with him, and I snapped the picture. But he had walked the trail as well.
Well, he had on his Appalachian Trail shirt that day. And, of course, since I was in the middle of walking it, we connected real well that day. And I need to get back to him and get on the phone and let him know that I'm still thinking about him.
Yeah, it was in a conversation that I had with him after we came back home. I was texting with him to check up and see how his surgery had went. And I asked him if he realized that you had lost your wife recently. And he said, no, I didn't. But he said, I also lost my wife 15 years ago. And he said, maybe that's why I connected so deeply with him. So he's looking forward to that conversation with you.
Well, I have been a bit busy. day after tomorrow, I will be going to Ohio to have Christmas with my granddaughter.
Wow.
And last week, I was in North Carolina again, and not for that, for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm staying busy to keep me occupied,
and I'm
just trying not to stay too busy that I forget what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just proof that if we'll be present, God can use us in ways that we don't even realize that it's making a difference. When we show up, He does things through us. Just that day, the picture that I snapped of that conversation of you two and then a couple of the other guys in conversation in their backyard just spoke to the importance of it's important to go and do the work in disaster response. But part of the work that's so important is stopping and having a conversation.
Right.
Yeah, you can get too busy and forget really what you're there for.
Right.
You're there to touch people's lives.
Yeah, Pastor Margaret was talking about presence, Bill, and your life exudes that. You care about people and you care about relationships. And you were talking about going to visit people in North Carolina, people in different places, because you care about relationships. And during this time when you lost the closest relationship to you, your wife, how many years were you and Cleo married before she passed?
Well, Grayson, I really like to look at it this way. We were married 24,989 days.
Wow.
That equals 68 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I might say 68 good years.
Yeah. That's a saying my dad said a lot of times, longevity is the greatest convincer, and your all's marriage was definitely proof of that.
Well, you were talking about relationships, and I guess your dad was the one that really, he talked about relationships from day one, and it's changed my life simply because just realizing that is very true, that the relationship you have with people is the most important thing in your life.
Right, and you were talking about in heaven, you know, like when you went on the disaster relief, you won't know till heaven the fruit of that, and that's what relationships are all about, because ultimately, if we love people, we care about where they're going to spend eternity one day. Now, we can't make that decision. People can only make the decision for themselves. But if we live the life and live the example, like you shared some of the stories with your hike and with a disaster relief, then we just trust their life in God's hand.
Well, that's all we can do is trust God to do the right thing and Him to trust us to do the right thing.
I'm thinking about just different moments within that disaster response trip. And another moment for me is when we're back at the house. We were blessed to be able to stay in a house while we were there, not in church pews, which was a real blessing. And there was two chairs there by the kitchen, and you and the young girl that had just moved here from the Bronx. She had moved from the Bronx 2 weeks prior to our trip. First Sunday she was at this church. It was the only Sunday that we advertised that there was going to be a trip, and she signed up. And so she didn't know who we were so much, and we didn't know who she was, but we fell in love with her really quick.
We did. We did.
And when she started calling you Uncle Bill, it was all I could take. it was the most beautiful thing. She called you Uncle Bill all week. And, you know, she's 21 and has had faced some pretty hard struggles, and she's had loss in her own life at a young age. And she just, I watched how she opened up and just really engaged you in conversation all week. It was just amazing to watch.
Well, I'm sure I made an impression on her, but she made an impression on me too. Mm-hmm. Just knowing some of her background mm-hmm. and what she's been through, and for her accepting us in so quickly.
Yes.
And of course, but that's what God's people are supposed to do. You know, you recognize God's people real quick,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't take long for you to build relationships with them.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably. Well, if she called you Uncle Bill, she must have felt like you were family, even though she had just met you. Oh.
Well, I'm known by Uncle Bill to hundreds of people that are no kin to me.
Right.
So it's a thing that I've been putting up with for years.
Well, you'll probably always be Uncle Bill to me too.
Mostly.
just when she called you Uncle Bill, I about fell over. I'm like, that's beautiful. And yeah, it was, just a beautiful week. And Vicky fed us so well. We ate like kings and queens that week.
I ate more that week than I usually eat in a month.
I think I did too. It's a good thing I did some work.
Well, Bill, your life is an inspiration and still is an inspiration. And what else from your hike? You know, you had other people, you've talked about this a little bit, but you had people hiking with you each day, just different people. And I'm sure the hike, you know, obviously it was to benefit Hope Distributed, but I'm sure some of the relationships and some of the conversations you've shared about that a little bit, but some of the people that have hiked with you, I'm sure that that's been a huge part, the relationships you've built with those people also.
Yeah, and I've had 18 different people hike with me up until today. And, of course, I hope that next week I'll have some people, some volunteers from the food bank that will come and hike that last 1 mile with me.
Wow.
So I'll probably have more than 18. And I've hiked, I think I'm probably 28, 29 different days.
Wow.
And I've made a lot of good friends with the guys that hike with me and got to know some of my friends better because of it. But a lot of exciting things have happened with the wildlife and the pictures we've taken and the beauty that we've seen on some of the overlooks. And I met people from like four or five foreign countries. So you just never know what you're going to run into on a trail.
Well, you know, I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about when you planned that trip, you had no idea what would transpire during your walk.
Not the least bit, because it's far, far more than I had ever dreamed. I had said to Jeff, well, maybe I can raise $3,000 for the food bank, and I'm north of $5,000
now. Wow.
And maybe we'll hit six.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
No limit to what God can do. He'll bless us more than
we can think or imagine, for sure.
Well, I told people when we went to North Carolina, I said, look for your miracle. Mm-hmm. And so this has been my miracle.
Well, and you've suffered a huge loss during this time of this walk. But I was just thinking about those 18 people that have come along and are walking beside you during that hard time. And it's given you an opportunity to have people come around you in a tangible way that probably wouldn't have happened had you not been doing this walk.
Well, I needed it. I think they knew I needed it.
Yeah.
And so, it was a special blessing to me to make those connections and have it work. One day I had like five different people walking with me. One day I met two believers. The guy that I was telling you about earlier from Fredericksburg, he was a believer, and I met another believer that same day, and they walked with us for a couple miles. There were five of us walking, so that'd been seven of us, and we were all believers, and it just, those are the inspirations that you get from it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the wildlife, I guess one of the most interesting things, we were walking one day and stopped to take a picture of something, and somebody said, "There's a bird in the bushes," and it was a grouse, and that grouse came over within inches of my foot, and actually I fed him crackers out of my hand. I mean, this is a wild bird. And I said, it was worth walking in the rain that day just to have God's creation do something that meaningful.
Right.
And we saw deer, we saw turkeys, we saw I saw one bear. He was far enough away I wasn't scared. But it's been amazing what God has done.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
As much as he takes care of the birds of the air, how much more he'll take care of his children.
Yeah.
Yep. And you talked about how the people that walked with you they helped walk with you through a hard time, and they knew you needed it, but I think they probably needed it too. They saw your life and how you were giving him praise even through a hard season. And so I'm sure that you were as much of a ministry to them as they were to you.
Well, and that's one of the things that came up on our trip to North Carolina. People were talking about what an inspiration I was. Well, that may be true, and I hope it is true, that I inspired somebody to do this. And maybe I'll inspire somebody to walk the Appalachian Trail next year and raise another $5,000.
Wow.
It won't be me.
Yeah. Well, Bill, it's been great to have you. Anything else that you'd like to share about any of the things we've talked about today that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
Nah, it's just one of those things that I think God is in, and I'm just hoping that the results of it will be meaningful to not just this community, but the people that are involved in it in any way. Okay. So if they gave $2 or $200, it would be meaningful to them to know that God's money and it's being used correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
glory.
And Hope Distributed's website is hopedistributed.org, and there's a donate button on that website if you'd like to give. Maybe you were inspired by Bill's story today and how God used his passion and for Hope Distributed and for kind of his hobby for hiking to help benefit others.
That's right.
Well, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me, and let's hope that the reason for this will be recognized in this life and in the life to come.
Right. Well, Bill, thanks for joining us. It's been great to have you. I'm just going to say a quick prayer in closing for you and for Hope Distributed and their ministry, and also for those in North Carolina that the group went down and helped during the disaster relief. Lord, I come before you today, and I thank you for Bill Kingria and his life and his testimony, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over him, and I pray that you help him as he continues, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, in the loss of Cleo, Lord, that's difficult, losing your soulmate for 68 years, Lord. And I just pray that you would encourage him. And I thank you for his testimony during this difficult time. I also thank you for his vision for doing this hike for Hope Distributed, Lord. And I just pray for the ministry of Hope Distributed and Jeff and Ellen, and as well as the volunteers, as well as the clients that they're helping, whether they're in need of food, clothing, or baby supplies, Lord. We just pray for that ministry. Also pray for those that were devastated by the hurricane, whether it was in North Carolina where the Virginia District Nazarene took the disaster relief trip, or any of the other areas that were affected by the hurricanes. Lord, we pray a blessing over them. I'm sure there's still tons of recovery that's going on, even far after the storms, Lord. And so we pray for them, Lord. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard us talk with Bill Kingria today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.